A big day for some minimum wage workers in California and the restaurants that employ them. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. A lot of fast food workers in California are getting a raise today as a new minimum wage kicks in for their industry, $20 an hour. It's one of the highest in the country. And while workers are celebrating, some franchise owners say they may not be able to withstand the higher costs without raising prices. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
So a big day indeed for fast food workers in California.
It is. For those making the state's current minimum wage for all workers, which is $16 an hour, this is going to be a significant pay bump. There is a bigger question, of course, of whether even 20 bucks an hour is really a living wage in California. And it's not a big change for everyone, Sabri. In some cities, minimum wages were already higher than the state's minimum. For example, the city of West Hollywood has a $19 minimum wage. So different effects depending on where you are in the state.
How do restaurant owners feel about this complicated kind of relationship there?
It is a complicated relationship between the restaurant owners and the rest of the California lawmakers. Technically, they're in favor of it. The International Franchise Association supported the law, which created this higher minimum wage because it was a compromise with the Service Employees International Union and state lawmakers. They were proposing even tougher rules. Still, there are fast food franchisee owners who say they're worried about having to raise prices or lay off people. But again, the effects aren't universal. If you believe websites like ZipRecruiter, the national average pay for fast food workers is already almost 20 bucks an hour. So the economy has already done a lot of the work here. We'll have to see if franchisees will actually be affected, how they will actually be affected in the months ahead.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You got it.
Coast Guard workers have begun laying out buoys in the Patapsco River to create a temporary alternate channel that would allow some boats to get to the port of Baltimore, this while a salvage operation continues around the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. The temporary alternate channel is much shallower than the main channel, so those giant ships will still need to be diverted. We've been taking a close look on this show at debt to pay back medical bills. It is the leading cause of personal bankruptcies in the U.S., with at least 100 million people on the hook for some debt. Back in 2020, Congress passed the so-called No Surprises Act to protect patients from massive bills that seemingly came out of nowhere for out-of-network medical care. Dan Gorenstein is executive editor of the health policy news organization Tradeoffs. He's also a former Marketplace reporter. He spoke about the No Surprises Act with my colleague, David Brancaccio.
You've been looking at this. What do we know about how well this thing is working to stop the possibility that when you open the bill from the hospital, you don't get a horrendous surprise?
Sure. Well, here's some nice news. The health insurance trade group, AHIP, says more than 10 million surprise bills were avoided just last year. As recently as 2020, David, one in five emergency room visits would get a surprise bill after they'd go to the hospital and end up seeing a doctor who was not in their insurance plan, someone out of network. In those cases, insurers paid what they wanted and doctors billed patients for the rest. Now, patients are mostly protected except from surprise ambulance bills, and doctors and insurers hash out their disagreements using a process known as arbitration.
Arbitration, like in sports or a workplace dispute, that's how it's supposed to work here?
Yes, that's right. Congress has borrowed from the Major League Baseball system for salary disputes. And basically, you have doctors and insurers each make an offer. A mediator picks one of two offers. And because there's no splitting of the baby, each side, in theory, has an incentive to come in with a reasonable bid.
Reasonable, right? So is that what is happening? People come into this arbitration all reasonable?
It doesn't seem like it's going that well. We just got our first glance at the numbers, and doctors are consistently winning with higher prices than expected. Lawmakers had banked on arbitration driving down prices for the entire private health insurance market, so much so that monthly health insurance premiums would drop by 1% starting next year. A new analysis from the Brookings Institution found the awards for doctors are so high that the law may end up actually increasing insurance premiums.
Increasing? not what Congress intended. Where's this go now?
This federal arbitration system is based on what states have done, and some sources of ours point to Washington State as a bit of a success story. The federal system is drowning in cases. Washington has just a handful, in part because doctors found the risks of arbitration outweighed the benefits. So it seems like Congress has two basic options: tweak the system, maybe work more like Washington's, or let this new system shake out. Ultimately, this law is protecting more people from the kinds of medical debt that you're covering on the show, but that protection may come at a price: higher insurance premiums for millions.
Dan Gorenstein is executive editor of Tradeoffs, which does health policy news. Dan, thank you.
Thank you.
David hosted a panel discussion on the cost of medical care just a couple weeks ago called Health and Wealth: Why Americans Are Drowning in Medical Debt. You can find video from that event on our YouTube channel. Just search Marketplace APM and Health and Wealth. You can also find more on our website at marketplace.org/healthwealth. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.